Well, excited. First scripture we're going to go to is 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3. Want to share something real quick. One of the inspirations for why we're going where we're going tonight came in a conversation I had with a woman this week through work, and real sweet lady. But we began talking, and I don't even know how these things happen, but I wound up sharing with her some things from the scriptures, and she said to me, she said, how do you have what you have? She said, I can tell you, like, you know God and you have a relationship with him. How do you have that? I've been looking for that my whole life. She said, I want that. How do you have it? And, I thought about it for a minute before I answered, but the answer is, I know the scriptures. I told her, I said, well, I know what the scriptures say about him. He's given us his word so that we can know him. And I said, if we don't, you know, the world does not value the scriptures, but God very much values them. And if you want to know him, you have to know his word. So it's exciting, and we're going to spend some time together probably this coming week, you know, to open the book and to show her, because she wants to know. And I know that, I don't know her, who she is. I've only talked to her on the phone, but I know that, if she really has a heart to know him and she's willing to look humbly at his word, that she's gonna, her life will be changed, and she will come away from this encounter knowing God also, and so it's exciting. So I want to go to 2 Timothy 3. And we're gonna start in verse 14. I think get a running start into here. It says, but continue thou in the things which you have heard, which you have learned, and has been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through believing which is in Christ Jesus. I just love that. That from a child. So Timothy, from a child, had been taught by his mother and his grandmother, if you read the context, but he'd been taught the scriptures. And it says here, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation or deliverance through the channel of believing, which is in Christ Jesus. Those scriptures are what bring you to that place of believing in Christ Jesus and salvation, right? And verse 16 is an incredible verse. We all know it, but look at this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if you look at it interlinear, those five words given by inspiration of God, one Greek word, means it's God-breathed, or breathed out of God. God breathed it, which is figure of speech, right? Because God doesn't breathe. He doesn't have form or comeliness, it says. And yet, it's using this figure of speech. It says it came out of God. God breathed his word. So all scripture is given by inspiration, or all scripture is breathed out of God, and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God, and I could add the woman of God in here too, the person, a person of God, may be perfect, truly perfected, furnished or perfected unto all good works. And it got me to thinking, as I'm looking and thinking, how many times God says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, one of the sayings, and I don't, you know, not making light or fun of anyone who uses this saying, but I don't like it, so I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. That you've all heard it before, but oh, God works in mysterious ways, right? Not if the scriptures are correct. Okay, do you see this book? See how many pages and words are written in here? The author took great time and care to put put these in here so that we could know him. And so we could know his ways, right? He works in mysterious ways to a man or woman who's not filled with the Spirit of God and doesn't know him. But they're not mysterious in that they can't be known. Because he wants us to know. And he's given us his word, and it breathed out of him. He breathed out his word so that we could know him, so that we could be perfect and thoroughly perfected unto good works. So I want to go through a couple of these scriptures. I want to look at another one, 2 Peter. And what did Father just say over and over again in manifestations tonight? You know, that we would know him, that we'd go to his word. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." And that word "through" is actually the word "en," E-N, or "in." "In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us through glory and virtue." He's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. There's not any mystery here. He's given it to us through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of his word. And it's exciting. It's exciting to know that I can go here and that I can learn and I can know my God and not be in a place of mystery, not be in a place of wondering. Because it's a scary place. It's a scary place here if you don't believe in God at all. I think if you believe in God and don't know him, it might even be more scary in some ways. Because you see that there's power. You see that there's judgment and righteousness and all these things, and yet I don't. How do I fit in to that? How do I obtain salvation? How do I walk with this God? How do I pray and receive answers? Right? And he hasn't left it a mystery. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. That gets me excited because this is for anyone that wants to hear it. It really is. And it starts with hearing the good news concerning Jesus Christ, that gospel that he's been raised, that he died for us and that he was raised again. That's where it begins. And then from there we receive the Spirit of God and we're able to go into his word and we get to know him. And that's why we get so passionate about the scriptures. It's not because it's just head knowledge and it's fun to have a bunch of knowledge. It's to the end that we might know him, that we could walk in this world not confused. Verse 15. It says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." This is Paul. He's writing to the Ephesians. And he said, "After I heard of your faith, your believing in the Lord and the love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Man. Verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." That word hope is that confident expectation. That we might know what is the confident expectation of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Does it sound like God wants this to be a mystery? No. Right? This is the prayer of Paul, that God would enlighten the eyes of their understanding, of the Ephesians' understanding, that they might know all these great and wonderful and powerful things he has done in Christ in raising him from the dead, that they might know. It's incredible. All right. And let's go Let's go to another scriptures. Let's go to Acts. Okay, Acts 13. I was looking at the scriptures this morning. This is one place where the word ignorant is used. It's like the word agnoeo. I wrote it down for those that want to care about the Greek. But it just means not to know something. That's what when it's used here in the King James, that word ignorant is that word which means not to know. And it could be a not knowing because you haven't been trained, because you haven't been told. Or it could be a not knowing because you choose to be ignorant. And so there's a lot of people that are ignorant of God and ignorant of what his word says. And a lot of them are ignorant because they just haven't been taught. Right? And there's actually a couple of verses. I don't even think we're going to go there, but there's one in the Hebrews I thought was really sweet. That it talked about Jesus Christ as our high priest who can have compassion on the ignorant. Has compassion on them. There's another one where Paul talks about him receiving mercy because what he did prior to receiving Christ, he did out of ignorance. He didn't know. And unbelief because he was believing that which was wrong. You know? And then, of course, there's a place where people are knowingly ignorant. You know, and that's a place you really don't want to be at all. So that's trouble. Let's not be there, huh? Acts 13. I want to go to verse 27. I think actually it's not 27. It might be before that. And this is Paul. He's laying out the gospel to a group of folks. Sounds like a mixed group of folks. Some were Judean. Some were not. And look at this. It says in verse 26, let's start there. Oh man, this whole section is cool. You know, let's start in verse 23. Get a running start. Verse 23 of chapter 13. It says, of this man's seed, referring to David, has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming and baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Who think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And it's sent to the Judeans, and whoever reverences God, whoever fears God. Verse 27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, that's that word ignorant, they were ignorant of him, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And I thought this was just a great verse in light of what we're looking at today, because the men who condemned Jesus Christ knew the scriptures up here, did they not?
Yeah.
They knew the scriptures. That was their life. They confessed them every day. They memorized the scriptures. They even made scriptures around the scriptures so that they could try and keep the scriptures. It was, they're like, they knew it in their head. But it says here that they didn't know him, and they didn't hear the prophets, which were spoken every Sabbath day. Right? So there's something greater going on here than just the head knowledge. Something greater that's going on than just the head knowledge. And look at this. They knew him not. They were ignorant of him. And yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them, the prophets, in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And it continues on. You know, but it's laid out. And they were ignorant of him, and they didn't hear the prophets that had been spoken every Sabbath day. Yeah. Pretty amazing. There's another record where this ignorant is used, and it's used when with the Gentiles, primarily. We're up in Mars Hill or whatever the name of that is, and there was many different altars to different gods, lots of different gods, and one of them was to the unknown God. And Paul says, whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. The one that you don't know, but you're worshiping, that's the one I'm going to declare to you. And he proceeds to declare to them the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, making known the unknown God. Pretty amazing, huh? There's a couple other spots. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. This is exciting. It's exciting because it's real, and God is really real. Jesus really did die for us and really did get raised from the dead, really is at the right hand of God, and God's word declares it to us, and we can know him by knowing this word. And let's go, oops, I'm in the wrong spot. 1 Corinthians 12, I went to 2. Probably going to go there too, but that's not where I want to go right now. All right. And we're not going to go through this whole section, but it's a fantastic section. I want to read the first verse of chapter 12. It says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Okay? Does anyone see the italicized on the word gifts?
Yeah.
Okay. It means it's not in the text. The word spiritual is a word pneumaticos. It means spiritual matters, spiritual things. Okay, and the reason why I eliminate that is because gifts oftentimes gets in the way of people's understanding of what it's talking about here. When it doesn't say gifts, I don't want to say gifts, because the scriptures don't say gifts. It says spiritual matters, not spiritual gifts. So let's say what the scriptures say. But this is huge. It goes on to talk about things like speaking in tongues, prophecy, talks about healing and miracles and other things, and in the hows of doing it, and the ways we walk with God and walk by the Spirit of God. And it says right off the bat, now concerning spiritual matters, brothers, I would not have you not to know. This is the Word of God. He would not have us not to know. He wants us to know, right? There's no mystery here. I don't have to guess how the Spirit of God works in a man or woman's life. I don't have to guess how to walk by the Spirit. The scriptures tell me. And that's an amazing thing to know. Because now I can go to the Word and I can learn. Why do I speak in tongues? Because Jesus is Lord and the Word of God says to. That's simple. He's my Lord. So I obey what the Word of God says to do. I do it. Right? Simple. It's not difficult. Let's look at another one you wouldn't have us ignorant of. 1 Thessalonians. There's a few other would not have you ignorant sections, but these were... I just rejoice when I see that, because I don't want to be ignorant either. I want to know. I want to know the score. All right, 1 Thessalonians... Chapter 4. Let's start in verse 13. And just because it's cool, we may have to read through this a little bit here. But look at this. Verse 13 says, But I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you not to know, brothers. Sisters are included in that. Concerning them which are asleep. that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Okay, so later tonight I'm going to go lay down and take a nap, right? Okay, is there any reason to be sorry about that?
No.
Okay, so what is this talking about?
Death.
Death, right? Very simply, okay? And you continue to read it, you'll see exactly what it's talking about. But it's not difficult to figure that out. And God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning them which have died. Period. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. Right? So, then it's going to tell us how not to be ignorant. And that's just incredible because the whole world is confused on this matter. They are. Right? You see it in our TV shows and the things that we teach our kids, and it's confusion, but God would not have us to be ignorant. That we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Okay? We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do we believe that?
Yep.
Yes. Even so, them also which have slept, who have fallen asleep or passed away in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not go prevent us to go before them which are asleep. In other words, the Lord could come back tonight. You know, and if he does come back tonight, all of us in this room are going to meet him in the clouds, but we're not going to go before them which have passed away. Okay? Very, very simple. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This is something that happens in the future. It has not happened yet, right? It hasn't. Otherwise, we would not be here. And here we are. Because we're not going to go before them who have passed away. Okay? So, the dead in Christ will rise. Then we which are alive and remain, verse 17, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is there any confusion there?
No.
No. Right? The dead are dead in Christ. They await his return. When he comes back, they get up. We don't go before them. We all meet in the clouds. So shall we ever be in the Lord, with the Lord. It's very simple. The Word just made it in 13 verses, well, less than 13 verses, in 5 verses, took us from ignorance to not ignorance. That's awesome. All right, let's go. Let's look at something else here. I want to go to Psalm 119. We're going to hit up a few more verses and then we'll close. Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 2. It says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies, or his word. The word testimonies is another word for his word. And that seek him with the whole heart. All of Psalm 119 we could read, but we're not going to. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. It says, wherewithal, or with what, shall a young man cleanse his way? And it says here, by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. How's a young man supposed to keep his way, his conduct clean or cleansed? By taking heed to the word. That's cool, right? It's good to know that, right? I might want to know that if I want to live for him. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Excellent. Verse 33 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein, in your commandments, I delight. Isn't that excellent? And it's just over and over again. You see it all through this section where it's that that record of a man who's crying out to God in relationship and saying, Father, show me, open my eyes, teach me, bring me to the place of believing your word. I love your word. I want to know your word. Teach me, show me. That kind of heart. You know, it's incredible, the whole section through. There's another one that says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things, right? Yes. Out of thy law. Pretty awesome. All right, we're going to go two other sections here. I want to go to Psalm 78. And we understand that the scriptures in the Old Testament, God refers to the law. And at that time, that was his word. It was given to Moses, and there's the law. And there's the laws and the prophets. And we've been given a word for this day and this time. And Hebrews talks about in the latter times that God spoke to us by his prophets. And today he's spoken to us by his son. Yeah. And so the words that we read in the New Testament, Romans through the rest of the book is for the Christian today, particularly for us. Okay? So we gotta understand that. But look at this. We're gonna translate this back. The heart of this psalm and what it's teaching is still absolutely valid. Verse 78 says, give ear, O my people, to my law, to my word. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Isn't that cool? I thought about that in light of our kids. You know, we just had youth camp. You know, which is just I've never been there, but I'm learning from my wife and my kids the amount of word that's taught there, you know, to the kids. And there's the crafts and the snacks and everything else too, but the content of the Word of God that's taught there. Because the point is that the kids need to know Him. So they need to know His Word, even at a young age. And so we have both the opportunity and also really the responsibility to teach the generation, the next generation, so that they can then teach the next generation, right? Because we could guess all our life, and if my kids don't know him and they don't know his word, they're going to be guessing the rest of their life. And we don't need to be in a place of guessing, because God does not want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know. And there's great joy in knowing. Let's close here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The whole chapter is cool. Let's start in verse I guess we'll start in verse 9 here. You know what? Verse 4. Sorry. And this is Paul. He's talking about how he entered in to the Corinthian, to the Corinthians when he first came to them. And it's pretty incredible the integrity that Paul had to make known the word of God. There's sections that talk about not handling it deceitfully. He didn't handle it deceitfully. He wasn't using the scriptures as a way to bring attention to himself, to gain any money in his pocket, to grow the number of people that were following him. None of that. Because when you get a real understanding of the heart of God and his word, that's the farthest from what you ever want to be anyways. Because you know him, and there's no reason to exalt or glorify anything but him. So Paul comes in with some integrity, and he says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith, your believing, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Verse 6, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, not the wisdom of this world, this age, that we might hear from this TV and this radio and this land, nor are the princes of this world that come to nothing." It all comes to nothing. Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." And if I stop there, you might have reason to throw the whole teaching out tonight, right? Because eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It's just a mystery, you know? But look at verse 10. "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him?" You know, I can't tell what's inside of you, in the deep parts of you. Only the deep parts of you know what's in the deep parts of you, right? "Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." That we might know, right? "Doctrine, reproof, correction, that we might be perfect, truly perfected unto all good works," right? We through the knowledge of him, that we can escape the corruption that's in the world through the lusts of the world and be partakers of the divine nature, it says in Peter. He would not have us ignorant. It's amazing. Verse 12 again. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord?" That's a quote. "That he may instruct him." Hey, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of God in Christ in us. We do. Paul had the Spirit of God in Christ in him. The words, the scriptures that he had written down, he wrote down not because he chose to write them down in the sense that it wasn't his idea, right? But all scripture was breathed of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. All scripture, that's including Paul's scriptures. And by the Spirit of God, we receive the Word of God, and by the Spirit of God, we will also understand the Word of God as we go to it. And you know, I've been thankful to be taught how to open the book and not to be afraid of it, and to read and to see what it is that our Father says. There's another scripture comes to mind where God says he would have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. And I think it's pretty clear that those two things are not, don't always go hand in hand. I can be saved and not come unto a full knowledge of the truth of his word. But we can. And that's why we've been given his word. That's why we've been given the Spirit of God. So that's what I wanted to share. And I hope it blessed you guys. I love you. I'm going to pray. So, Father, I just want to thank you for tonight. Thank you for everyone in here, beloved saints, Father. I thank you that as we continue to grow together, that your word just burns in our heart, Father, in a way that can't help but release it. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word and to know it, and we can always learn more, Father. And so we thank you for that also. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the life we have in him. And we exalt and glorify him, Father, just as you have. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.